Sugya on Daaselian and Daastachin, which is called in the Chassidus Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh. This is one of the famous Sugyas in Chassidus, one of the most Taskodic Sugyas. If I'm not mistaken, the Alter Rebbe mentions it in a part of it. The Alter Rebbe just mentions Yesh Ayin Yesh. I don't even know if he mentions Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh. Mustami does. But the Mittal Rebbe in the Ibn Rebina, another place, makes such a big deal out of this Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh. It's one of the deepest and most involved sugyas in Chassidus, this business of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh. Now, there are many things that the sugya of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh teach us. Some of us read this stuff and say, come on, who cares, what's this all about? But there's something very elementary and commonsensical about the sugya of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh that I want to share with you. Something very pushy. You'll hear me say, of course, now I understand what he wants. What's the whole point of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh? Who cares, there's one ayin, there's two ayins. And by the way, this ma'amid is bekitzer. This ma'amid over here is 4 or 5 pages. David Nisnat Sagimatit Nesamach Tes, till he ran away. We have Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh for 75 pages. Where he changes his mind. He starts off that Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh, the two ayins are Malchus of Atzilus is the lower ayin, and Atzilus is the higher ayin. Then it becomes Atzilus is the lower ayin, and Keser is the higher ayin, then Keser is the lower ayin, and then Kav is the higher ayin, then Kav is the lower ayin, and Lifnei HaTzimtzum is the higher ayin, until finally the two Madregas of Esav Shel Lifnei HaTzimtzum are the lower ayin. The higher ayin goes higher and higher. The two Hemsheichim you're doing for the Rebbe Nishma saying they talk about this sugya are Samach Tes Hotel Lo Nitake. They're, by the way, yet in Samach Vav also. And in the Ayin Beis, the Shana Ayin Vav is a very deep Haskalah. The Kisugya and the Sugya of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh. But Ayin Beis is different than Samach Tes, obviously. Amongst the differences that he's going here in the Shita Veres Mitzuyarim, not in the Shita Veres Peshutim. The Friedrich Rebbe has the famous Hemshech Tzadik Dalet. I don't know if you're aware of it. And the Bavus the Hemshech Tzadik Dalet, the Friedrich Rebbe said, when he moved to Varsha, the Friedrich Rebbe talking about the Rigi of his Yamot, he moved to Varsha, and we knew him saying, Azach Haskalah, look at my Morim. The Hemshech Tzadik Dalet is unbelievable. I can't say I learned it, I read it. It's very abstract Haskalah. If the Sugis of the Rebbe Rashab, in Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh are difficult, the Friedrich Rebbe's Bechlau, the Friedrich Rebbe in his Haskalah, my Morim, the Avodah Morim, the Friedrich Rebbe, very Gishmak, and brought down. But Haskalah and the Friedrich Rebbe are so able that it's almost not Haskalah. You don't understand it. You have to sort of deadhead it. You have to feel it. It's very fine Dorim and Chinukim that the Friedrich Rebbe makes. And there's a story behind it, Tzadik Dalet. And that is that at a certain point, I heard the story from Rabbi Fuchs. But there's different guesses to the story. Rabbi Fuchs was there, B'Shas Maises. He's a little bit defensive. That the Yungle Light, the Chassidim, the Mordechai Chayfetz, the Mechatche Fagin, the Mechatche Himmelstein, the Mechassidische Yidin, Oivdim. The Rebbe was speaking as a Chavilda Haskalahs. Told the Rebbe that they have no way of bringing these inyonim into Avodah, they can't bring them into Avodah. So the Rebbe stopped saying the Tzadik Dalet, he stopped. I'll tell you in a moment. A former student of mine, Shalom Zirkin, from the Tel, was not gave for Zayfetah Moshe, see for Zayfetah label, as a groaner. As the Rebbe, the Rebbe said, Ich hab auch gewollt geben, neppes recht. Ist der Welle, ich darf ihn abkäufen mit der Zuckerkirchen. I wanted to give you something recht. Juicy, meat and potatoes. Ist der Welle, ich darf ihn abkäufen mit der Zuckerkirchen. It means, you know, those kichlach with sugar on it, weißt du. The Rebbe is looking at himself as a younger man. Tzadik Dalet, how old was the Rebbe? The Rebbe was 32 years old. This is what I heard. That when this story happened, and the Chassidim went into the Rebbe, Friedrich Rebbe, and they told him that they can't hear such as called, they can't hear him, the Rebbe stopped. And he stopped in the middle. Tzadik Dalet is not based on the Samach Tes. The Tzadik Dalet is based on the Ayin Vav, on the Rebbe, on the Ayin Beis. So the Rebbe had a Fabrinyan with the Yungle Light, with the Chassidim, and he gave it to them. He told them, as the Rebbe is a Chassidus, it is dealing with Maila. The Rebbe tells the Yosef student, Maila, how do you come along and you mix in? Yav, Maida, Nishta, Maida, the house by them, the house, Nishta, by them, the Rebbe really gave it to them. The bottom line is the Friedrich Rebbe didn't finish the Tzadik Dalet. When I was growing up, I used to say, I was a Bacher, hat men geret. And in Tavshin Tezvav, the Rebbe finished the Tzadik Dalet. Tavshin Tezvav, the Rebbe said, to my modern, which grab, I think, are Muga. At least one of them is Muga. He just kissed with my modern, with Nachamayimit, which are based on the second half of the Sugi of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh in the Ayin Beis, which is in the Sof Chelik Beis of the Ayin Beis. He said, Gehesen, the Rebbe was Mashlim, what the Friedrich Rebbe didn't finish, Yom Tzadik Dalet, it's Mashlim. I mean, to say that the Rebbe was Mashlim for Friedrich Rebbe is interesting because the Sprach is so different. The way they speak and the way the Rebbe Buchal didn't write. Ganz ein anderer Sache im Ganzen. But now that they printed the Ayin Beis, in Tezvav, Tavshin Tezvav, they didn't have the Ayin Beis. So when the Rebbe said those Maimonim, so the Bachem, who learned the Tzadik Dalet, said, ah, this is the end of the Tzadik Dalet. Now that they have the Ayin Beis, you see exactly how it happens. The Rebbe Zal Gezunzai printed the Tzadik Dalet for Tishrei Tavshin Yud Aleph. That means to say, the Fidikel was installed Yud Shvat Tavshin Yud. So the next Tishrei was still the year of Avelis. So the Rebbe Yomot Gidrug Dem Tzadik Dalet. And it was such a clap, such a gilui. In other words, by the Fidikel Rebbe Da Askol, the Kamaimonim, Tavshin Gimel is a scholar, Tavshin Tes is a scholar, Tavshin Ches is a scholar. But the Tzadik Dalet is in a category all of its own. But the Tzadik Dalet was something else. And it's based on this sugya of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh. Now, I started to tell you that there's really a common sense reason for the sugya of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh. And I want to tell you what that is. It's to teach you that Yeshme Ayin has a Hishtalshus. It's a very important point. That Yeshme Ayin has a Hishtalshus. I mean, we learn Hasidus. We all know what Hishtalshus means. Basically, Hishtalshus means normal and sensical. Something that you can understand. And it's normal. Why? It's Bahadraga. It's step by step. It's Midarga Ladarga. Like the muscle of a chain. You have a bunch of rings and the lower part of the upper ring is holding the upper part of the lower ring. B'chuli. It's step by step. So Ilav Yaro makes a lot of sense. We understand the process. It's called cause and effect and so on. When it comes to Yeshme Ayin, we're always talking, see this, Yeshme Ayin, you can't understand it. Okay, listen, you don't have to understand everything. God is great. God can do whatever he wants. Fine, we can't understand Yeshme Ayin. But we oversimplify. We oversimplify means to say we make it more than it is. We say, you can't understand Yeshme Ayin, close the Sefer Yagavite. It's not so pashut. Bechlal, I've told you this to you, come upon him, and I believe in the way Yeshiva Bacham learn, at least this is my experience, I shouldn't really speak for other people, that in Nigla, we overcomplicate, and in Chassidus, we oversimplify. Nigla, we make more tumult and flutter than it has to be. In Chassidus, we think it's all simple. Chassidus, you have to learn, like the Rebbe Hashab said, for the Sugis, for the Shvera Sugis, for Nigla, the Teir, you have to learn Chassidus, Mitasach Iyun. And that one of the critical messages of the sugya of Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh is that even Yesh Me Ayin has a pattern. Even though Yesh Me Ayin by definition means a diluk, a quantum leap, a jump, that you can't explain how it happens. And we learned in the Maimon of Achdus, those of you who learned the whole Maimon, that it requires a magic, it requires save of Kalam, and the Maimon of Kalam can't do it by itself, it requires a higher Keach that comes into the equation, that pushes to create this leap, Talzachin. At the same time, Yeshme Ayin has a process, has a hishtashlus. There's a lashon in the Maimon someplace. I think from the Rebbe, when the Rebbe says, that it's brought down in the Maram Prag, that Nisim also have a Seder, that miracles have a pattern. Miracles, L'mayim Mederach HaTeva, they have a Teva all their own. Al Derach Zeh, Yeshme Ayin is L'mayim Mederach HaTeva, obviously, but it's not the Pshat Yeshme Ayin, it's Tamazay Mishuga, there's a pattern to Yeshme Ayin. Ubehegdim, it's Abavorim. Let's not forget that. The Eibishter could do anything he wants. Right? The Eibishter could have desired. Atzmus should create Gashmi. It's case closed. It doesn't have to be a Tzimtzum Arishin, and it doesn't have to be Ak, it doesn't have to be a Kav, it doesn't have to be a Tzilas, nothing. Eibishter can do anything he wants. You cannot say by the Eibishter he had to do. You can only say by the Eibishter he had to do once you accept the framework or the premise that he has to make sense, that he operates in a sechalik way. Or to say it like you're supposed to say it, when the Eibishter operates in a sechalik way is a funny kind of a concept. And the Eibishter created a diutagma, or difterois or pinkisois, a blueprint for the creation. And one of the difterois and the pinkisois of the creation, this is the Teira. And one of the rules of Teira is that it's Chochmah Seishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the divine wisdom, it's God's Chochmah. Since Chochmah means that it makes sense, the title of the word Chochmah is, and the Kondas Hashtein. So since the Eibishter created the world according to a system of Chachma, there's a pattern, there's a way to understand the process of creation. So nobody is saying Hashem has to. Mi'ayim alei matasim, he can do anything he wants. But he has chosen to make the world in a logical way. To the point. You're always going to have to admit at a certain point that this is where Seichel dies. Just one of the Yaron that Rebbe Tzvi Kocht in Fashid in the Yaron, in Mayne Yaron, in the Mems, that we always think You'll learn enough Chassidus, you'll figure everything out. The Rebbe says, what's machter zechnanish? You know, after all the learning, you're going to have to admit that it's nimna nimnois. I mean, after all the, you know, understand, higher and higher and higher. Lifnet simtzum, noch hecher. At the end of the day, you're going to have to admit, once upon a time there was nothing, and then all of a sudden there was everything. There's always going to be that moment where the seichel dies. But the whole idea of Chassidus, and the whole idea of Teda, is as much called Dovash Efshal Lit and Leitam, Ten Leitam. In as much as we can understand the process of creation, the Eivishter made it understandable. And Seder Ishtalshalos is not only about Ilav Yalom. Seder Ishtalshalos is not only about when things are gradual, when things are close to one another, then they have an order. Like once Eivishter created Elma Bria, to go from Bria to Yetzirah to Asiyah is step by step. That's not true. Yesh Miyayin is Ishtalshalos. And then it goes higher and higher and higher. The Eibishter didn't just create the world to Atzmus. He wanted to create a world. So he created an unbelievable Ishtashas. What for? To create the Ayin. There's an enormous, there's a vast Ishtashas. There's a huge Ishtashas. Not to create the world. To create the Makkah for the world. Because Yeshme Ayin also has a pattern. Yeshme Ayin also has a Seichel, a Higoyin to it. Hashem doesn't just create the world from his atzmus. And that is really, in essence, what Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh teaches you. Right? Now everybody understands. Why? Because Bepashtus, you would make the assumption, there's the Eibishter, there's the world, and then there's the thing in between. One Ayin, Yesh Ayin, Yesh. So Chassidus says, no. There's Yesh Ayin, Ayin Yesh. Why is it important to add a second Ayin? Why? Because the chilik between the first ayin and the second ayin is, the first ayin is saying nothing exists. First ayin is saying craziness. First ayin is saying we can't understand the English. The second ayin is all about mukar. The second ayin, the title of the second ayin is the English that accommodates the world. He accommodates the world not only in the yesh miyesh processes, in the ilav olo processes, he accommodates the world in the yesh miyesh processes. And therefore, when you learn the sugya of Yesh Ayin Ayin, Yesh Ayin Ayin, I'm not going to say it's an easy sugya. Here it's Berachmonis and Bekitzer. And Agam, the way it's explained here is Abyssal and Madna. It's different than a lot of places. But it's not so hard, it's not so long, you don't get lost. The whole vart of Yesh Ayin Ayin, Yesh, is to understand that Yesh Me Ayin is a process. Well, not only is the Yesh understandable, the Ayin is understandable. The ayin has to be prepared and prepared and prepared and made lower and less and smaller so that it can be an ayin for a yesh. Okay, I hope this is very enlightening to you. I think this is a very important nekuda. There's a very balabatish reason for this whole sugya. The sugya of yesh, ayin, ayin, yesh tells you that there's patterns to yesh, ayin also, not just yesh. Now, does anyone have any questions or comments? Now,
you said you're saying
I want to tell you something. The truth of the matter is that Eidus Shrift Ben Siyam is not negiyah at all to us. At all. In this moment?
Same as Pashim.
Okay, you have to understand that Bechlau, when you learn Chassidus, Chassidus is a combined Kabbalah of Darizal and Ramak. And the way it's brought in Chassidus is that even according to the one who holds Eidus Pshutim, the Eidus are not Pshutim Lagabi. And even the one who holds Eidus Mitziyadim holds that they're not Mitziyadim Lagami. So most Lashaynas and Chassidus, most, you can spin in both ways. You can say Pshutim and Be'arizal too. You can be Mitziyadim and Be'epadness also. You have to have Ayin Mechenis, you have to know how to see the two Shigas. And again, I've told this to you before, in my belief, the only place where you really thoroughly, comprehensively get the Shita of Eidus Mitziyadim is in the Ayin Beis. Until the Ayin Beis, you just get little tidbits of this stuff. He sprinkles it in. But it's not until the Ayin Beis that the Rebbe Rashab finally, he basically slugs up the sheet of Eretz Mitzvah. How could you slug up a sheet in Kabbalah? I don't know. He says, does it make sense? You're going to write it Eretz Mitzvah. And the whole Ayin Beis goes in that there. So it's not so important to this Maimed, because you can spin this Maimed, as most Maimed, in both ways. You can do it any way you want with it. Now, Rabbi Yisai. let's understand what the words mean. Let's first translate the word Yesh. Hello, anybody?
Okay.
We've done this so many times, Kinder. We've been down this road so many times. Yesh does not mean in existence. The word for existence in Hebrew is Metzius. And to be sure, I like to translate the word Metzius not as existence. I like to translate the word Metzius as a form. A form means something that has rules of time and space. As I once explained to you, I think I explained it to you also, that it says in Chassidus, that Eibishter is called a Metzius, he exists, built in Metzius. He doesn't have a Metzius. So he doesn't have any limitation of time and space. Called a Metzius, built in Metzius, Nimtza. A form, a Metzius, that doesn't have a form, Nimtza, that anybody can find. So the translation of Metzius, in my view, is an existence, or correctly, philosophically, I translate the word Metzius as form. Yesh means independent existence. I am, and I don't need anybody else. Someone that exists and needs something else cannot be called a yesh. It can only be called a Metzius. And I've translated this for you in the past, Kamap Yomim. The translation of the words yesh me'ayin is that me'ayin is proof for yesh. Yesh means I'm an independent existence. The proof that my existence is independent is because me'ayin, man is a question. Like me'ayin yavei ezri, from where do I come? If, in fact, I have a source and I am dependent upon the source, show me the source. So yesh me'ayin is a phrase, it means something. Yesh means I exist as an independent being because me'ayin, I don't know my source. That's the translation of the word yesh. So, in this statement, yesh, ayin, yesh, we have two yeshes. Two things that declare themselves not only to be, but to be independent, to need nothing except themselves. The first is called yesh ha'amiti, the true yesh, the true ego. Who really needs nobody except himself? The Eibishter, naturally. It's the very definition of the word Eibishter. Somebody asks you, so this question comes up a lot. So, okay, so after all, who created the Eibishter? And I answer them, the definition of the word Eibishter is that nobody created him. So the Eibishter is a yesh. He exists with no dependencies. When you exist with no dependencies, you have very interesting properties. If you exist with no dependencies, you have no need to conform. You don't have to make anybody happy. You owe nobody anything. You're independent. But Elam Haza Hagashmi, this world, and Bekolos, Briya Tzir Nasi, is also a yesh. But of course, the Eibishter is called Yesh HaMiti. He's a true yesh. He's truly independent. And our yesh, to be sure and to be honest, is a lie. And I told you so many times last year when we learned the Sugya Bariches, that it says we had it in the Maimon Mem Gimel, on page Tzadik Hey. The fact that the world appears to be a yesh hu sheker gomu. It's the big lie. It's the biggest sheker that could exist. The Eibishter created a bigger sheker than all the shekonim in the world. Tayach. And that is Elam Haza Hagashmi. Because the whole notion of something being yesh independent, except if the Eibishter himself, is a lie. But the Eibishter has the koyach, has the power to create this lie. When you learn Chassidus, you taught that the koyach aliki that is required to create the lie of yeshus and gashmis is mamish and atzmus. In other words, even though it's true that the yeshus of this world, the fact that we feel independent and we say we don't need anybody, is a falsehood. It's a lie. And lecha'eda, sheker ein lein aglaim, something which is false, has no substance, has no material, has no lasting inyan, v'chuli, right? Fact is, only the Eibishter can create Yesh Me'ayin. We had Negeres HaKedesh Simen Chof. Maybe we didn't learn it recently, but I'm thinking of Chavdala Tevis. Chavdala Tevis was Sunday. And the Rebbe wrote this drush, the Yevach Yechad. Negeres HaKedesh Simen Chof, he has one of the most famous expressions, where it says the Lashon, Rakhu Bekeche V'cholte Lahaves Yesh Me'ayin Ve'efes HaMuchlet. Only Atzmus. To create Gashmis, you have to have Shedish in Atmos. As you all know, that Gashmis is the lowest thing and has the highest Shedish. Why? Because the false Yeshus, the Yesh HaSheken, the lie of Yeshus in this world, the fact that we feel independent, which is a lie, but the very fact that we feel that way has to come from Yesh HaMiti. It says in Chassidus, there's qualities in Gashmis, it doesn't exist to any place in Seder Ishtashlus, only in Atmos Mamash. Because even though our Yeshus is a lie, it's Yeshus nevertheless. Lie ahead, lie ahead, it's Yeshus. That Yeshus is Mushrish and Atzmus. And this is one of the, deep in Yonim, you have in Chassidus, and it's a long story, how in order to create the Shek of Elam Hazah, it has to come from the Emes of Atmos and Host. Yesh Amit and Abish to create Shanev. That's the translation of the word Yesh. I exist independently. And we already know that although we use the word twice in this phrase, Yesh Ayin Ayin Yesh, there's a difference between the first illusion and the second illusion. The first illusion to Yesh is true, the second illusion to Yesh is false. Now let's translate the word Ayin. Yes? Okay. I think the answer to that question is no. I believe you came over and asked me the question. Somebody asked me the question, and I skirted it. I didn't answer it. It's a very, very good question. How do you call Atzilus Yeshus? Somebody asked me the question. I told him not to worry about it. Wasn't you? The first page, right? Mem Hei. Mem Gimel. So it's a very, very good question. How do you call Atzilus Yeshus? I called me Tzilus, I understand, but Yeshus. Atzilus is not a part of Pelagos. Atzilus is a Pelagos. No, the true Yesh is only the Eibishter. Atzilus Homatzius is Bittl. Atzilus is not Yesh, Atzilus is Bittl. The Chlal Eid is not Yesh, it's Bittl. They're also Bittl. They're Zveikus built in the Kerst, they're Bittl. What is compared to me? This is not politics and diplomacy. It's the Dafa Vashtein. If you say that Atzilus is a Mitzius, I'll agree with you. Of Mitzius, Medidavak Bala. But Yeshus means specifically Irdav Din Nisht Ham.
What's the name of Kalem?
Kalem of Atzilus, he just asked me that. Kalem of Atzilus are Bakl. Their Bittl is built in Nikit. You don't see the Bittl. Huh? They're not only Bakl because they're Lakus itself,
they're
yeah?
Bakl, but it's two different things that are Bakl. It's a voice, there's the Akhmus, that's what it says in It says that they're like you, Kayum, you.
Fine, it's different levels of Bittl, but you can't be a Yesh when you go around screaming a whole day, everything I have is from God. It doesn't work. Can't have it. You can't put those two things together. Okay, now, when you get to the word ayin, this is where life gets interesting. The simple translation of the word ayin is nothing. Ayin means garnished. But ayin also means, like you have in the Chumash and Parshas B'Shalach, they call it manu kila yadu mau. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. So the Rebbe gives you several translations for both ayins. He says, but you have to understand that there's a very big difference between the two uses of the word ayin. What's the difference? The first ayin means everything that exists besides for Hashem. So, there's the Eibishter, he's Yesh. Everything else is ayin. I mean, ayin, garnished, it's nothing. Now, to call everything that exists besides for Hashem garnished is quite a statement. Because some of those garnished, you're talking about Ein Sof, you're talking about the highest madregas of Ein Sof, garnished. And of course the answer is, they may be big machas, they may be very, very important beings. Legabe yesh amiti, they're garnished, that's all. What is the connotation of the word I, garnished? Nothing. That since I live, since I exist in the presence, in the proximity, near something, so much bigger and greater than myself, I'm nothing. But faket, the first ayin includes what? Ein Sof and the highest madrigas of Ein Sof. Everything that comes from the Eibishter is included in the first ayin.
So,
yes. But the first ayin, in other words, the first ayin is much higher than the second ayin. The first ayin is things which are one with the Eibishter. Things that are one with the Eibishter are much closer to the Eibishter than the second ayin, which I'll get to momentarily. And yet, how do we define the first ayin? Garnished. The second ayin is much lower than the first ayin. But the second ayin we don't call garnished. Okay, the whole point of the second ayin is, it's a zephyr, we just don't know what it is. Let me say again what I said, so you'll hear what I'm saying. Inside the mind, he gives you two definitions for each, I know. But one definition is sufficient, at least for the purposes of this at this moment. The first ayin means nothing. I think nothing. Why would you call something nothing? In the presence of the Eibishter, everything is nothing, including the biggest in Yonim. The second ayin is not nothing. It's something. I don't know what it is. I call it ayin. So the second ayin is much less than the first ayin. Second ayin means it's something. I just don't know what it is. Could be a very small thing. That's right. It is malchus natzilus. I just don't know what it is. The higher ayin is called nothing. Now, to think about this. Aidin Tsashalifniat Simsum and Aidin Tsashalacharat Simsum, the Kav is nothing. Malchus Atilus is something, I don't know what it is. What's the logic to it? How does that make sense? How does it make sense that so much higher in Yonim are called nothing, when something so much smaller or less is called something, I don't know what it is. What's the answer? The answer is very pushing. Depends who's doing the definition. Who's speaking? When the Eibishter looks at everything he says, it's altgunished. Yesh Ein and Ein Yesh are Das Elyon and Das Tachlin. You have to remember this. Yesh Ein and Ein Yesh are not just levels, not Hishtalshalos. Yesh Ein Yesh are two ways of looking at everything. Yesh Ein is how Hashem looks at everything. Ein Yesh is how we look at everything. That's called Das Elyon and Das Tachlin. There's a high way to look at the world, and there's a low way to look at the world. Well, the person with the help of the Maimonim, with the help of Torah, and Torah's the Eibishter's Chachma. Okay. What is Das Elyon and what is Das Tachlin? Das Elyon and Das Tachlin doesn't only mean I know more and I know less. Das Elyon and Das Tachlin means what's my point of view, what's my frame of reference, how am I approaching this? From Anand Kumich, where am I coming from? Das Elyon is coming from the point of view, there's a God. Oh, there's a God, everything else is nothing. That's the Pshat Ayin. The first Ayin is in relationship to Yashar Miti. So even though the first Ayin encompasses higher and greater things, which are much, much more than the second Ayin, it doesn't bother me. Because the first Ayin is in relationship to the Eibishter. The second Ayin is not from the point of view of the Eibishter. The second Ayin is from the point of view of a person. From man's point of view. What is the beginning of Das Tachlin? Right, let me repeat myself. The beginning of Das Elyon, the Eibishter exists. What's the beginning of Das Tachlin? I exist. Pashat. Das Elyon, the beginning of Das Elyon is Yesh. Ha-Amiti. Das Tachlin is Yesh Hanivra. I exist. When you look at things from the point of view that I exist, I'm not going to say that the things that I don't understand don't exist. Because I have enough integrity, sometimes, when I'm in the mood, to admit that the things that I don't know, that I don't understand, are the whole reason I am. They make me v'chol ha'rega me'ayin l'yash. And that's why you have these radical definitions, distinct definitions, of the translation to the word ayin. When you're looking at the world from Eibishter's point of view, alles is garnished. When you're looking at the world from our point of view, well, we don't understand, we don't say it's nothing, it's bigger than us. It's beyond our comprehension. We're not smart enough to even know what it is. We say ayin. Huh? So ayin doesn't mean nothing. Ayin means I don't know what it is. Specifically, the Rebbe broke it down. He said that the ayin of the Yashamiti is called the Ha'ara. Mein Amor, therefore it's ayin. And the ayin of the Yashanivri calls it a Leidavar. It's a non-thing. When you call something a non-thing, you're not saying it doesn't exist. We can't be from nothing, right? There's no such thing as nothing, not even in your head. Kiyadua. I should pull out that letter. I gotta go get that letter. It looked by me. I saved it. Just 1 second. 1 second. The translation of the word ayin, therefore, is I don't know what it is. But the ayin that I'm saying I don't know what it is actually much, much more than me. Go ahead, Doug. Don't listen to Doug.
Yes. So then what would then be the difference to the first one where it's only one R? Say the first one is nothing because it's just R of Hashem. Therefore, it's nothing.
The answer to your question is who is doing the defining?
But doesn't the only difference is one has just an extra R?
That's philosophy. Who is doing the defining? God or man? I want to ask you a question, David Nissen. When the Eibishter looks at Ayin of Das Tachlin, yeah? Ask even a better question. When the Eibishter looks at Yesh HaNivra, yeah? What does he say? Yesh or nothing? Nothing, frantic. The Gabe, the Eibishter, everything is included in nothing. Ma'adach Eidin Tzav Shlifnei Tzimtzum is nothing. So the Ayin of the Yesh HaNivra, what you're calling Ha'ara, the Ha'ara is also garnished with Nisht. And the Yesh HaNivra is even more garnished. It's the point of view. Who's doing the analysis? Who's doing the assessing? Masha Enkin in Das Tachlin. It's not just going to a lower level. He comes from another person's point of view. When he come from an opposite point of view, so ayin is being looked, you're looking up at the ayin, not looking down at the ayin, looking up at the ayin, so ayin means, it's a ganze metzius, it's awesome, it's infinite, I just don't know what it is, I call it ayin. But I want to reiterate the first point that's very important to understand. The necessity for this whole business of two ayins is not only for the sake of point of view, how Hashem looks and how we look at it. It's also for the sake of explaining that there is hishtaslus in Yeshmeyayin also. There's a process, Yeshmeyayin is not only magic. The Eibush to make it as logical as possible. Even though Yeshmeyayin by definition means we can't understand it, as much as it could be made sense, he makes sense out of it. He brings the ayin as close to Yesh as possible before he makes the event of ayin to Yesh, so that it makes sense. Now I'm going to let you speak in a moment. I just want to say, I'm going to give an advertisement. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to give you a shiur. The shiur tomorrow, I want to talk about the word makir. Makir. And if you want to find the word makir, I think you can find it in the middle of page Mem Vav. What is the translation of the word makir? I'm going to give you a hint. Can you call the Eivishter the makir for the world? What's your question?
Yeah, how does it all speak about it?
Possible. What about last year? It's possible.
How does it all connect back to the world?
Oh, because we're going to argue that Acharat Tzimtzum is the lower ayin. Not the higher ayin, the lower ayin. And that's a symptom of Midas Adin.
Because
of Midas Adin,
we have the lower ayin.
Yes. The higher ayin is Ha'arameina Moir.
How would I be created then?
Okay, it's another question, but the point is, in other words, you're saying that Daf means it. No one is arguing about whether you need it or not. We're just arguing about the pshat. Midas Adin means tzimtzum. The whole vart is ayin is also mitzumtzum. I told you before, the market of yesh is also tzimtzum. Where does that begin? Ultimately, it's going to begin in tzimtzum edition. Okay. Anybody else?